Once again, we are most appreciative to the members of the congregation here as they have assembled this morning, to those who are visitors among us. We are thankful for your presence. It is our intent as we come here together in times such as this to do only those things that are pleasing in the sight of God. If you are visiting and observing things that you feel out of harmony with the Word of God, things that we practice, things that we say, then, as we have mentioned before, you would be our friends, and we truly mean that, if you would point these things out. Because each and every one of us have one desire, and that is to be pleasing in the sight of God. Whatever that takes, that is what we want to do. We are glad for your attendance this morning as we do come together and study a portion of God's Word. For the time that we have together, I would like to study something that is just simply entitled Matters of Faith and Opinion, and how that we as Christians are to deal with such as these. I believe this is one of those things that have been down through the century, a thing of great importance for those who are children of God. It is not something that is confined to us as we live here in the United States in the 1990s or whatever lifetime we've had. It's something that has interested, it is something that has been of great importance to children of God throughout all the ages, because this is going to affect us in many ways. It is especially going to affect us in our fellowship, how we deal with matters of faith and how we deal with matters of opinion. It is going to affect our fellowship and our relationship to God, whether we are acceptable in His sight or not. But it's also going to affect the relationship and the fellowship that we have with one another, with those who are called saints, with those who are called Christians, as to how we determine what is a matter of faith and what is a matter of opinion, and then how we deal with those two things. The question might be asked from the very beginning, how is a faithful child of God to deal with matters of faith and matters of opinion? Are they to be handled differently? Are they to be handled the same? Do all things in the Bible fall into the area of faith? Or do all things that are found in the Bible fall into that matter of opinion? You know, people in the denominational world, in the religious world, want that. They want everything contained in the Word of God to simply fall into the matter of opinion. That we have, we can do it or we don't have to do it. The option is left up to us, and we can kind of write our own ticket, we might say, to be pleasing in the sight of God. Now, this certain lesson this morning, again, we need to define what we're going to do. I'm not here to give you a list of what is a matter of faith and what is a matter of opinion. I think that, as we examine our own life, understand that that, in some instances, is an ongoing process. As we mature in the Word of God, as we gain a greater knowledge and insight into living the life of a Christian, we might differ from times of immaturity to times of maturity as what does fall into faith and what falls into opinion. And so I'm not here to give you a list of faith and list of opinions. Nor am I here this morning to tell you how you are to determine what is a matter of faith or a matter of opinion. That is something, as we look at the Word of God, it might be for another sermon or two. But once again, what I'm trying to do in this particular sermon is to know what the Word of God tells us how to deal with these two areas. How to deal with the matter of faith and how to deal with the matter of opinion. And so in the very beginning, we want to define what we're talking about when we speak concerning matters of faith and matters of opinion. When we speak of matters of faith, then what we are talking about is that which has been revealed in God's Word. That we can take and we can open up the Bible and we can see what God has to say for us. That is a matter of faith. Romans 10 and verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. This faith then that we have, this system of faith that has been given unto us, is that which has been revealed in God's Word. So when we're talking about faith, we're talking about those things that are established in God's Word. When we're talking about matters of opinion, we are talking about those things which deal with our lives as children of God, with our relationship one to another. But they are not necessarily divinely revealed in God's Word. But they have to do with us in our everyday walks of life and in our relationship one to another. And so we have matters of faith and we have matters of opinion. Someone has also said that we have what might be described as those areas of authorized opinions. But really what that is just simply matters of expediency as we're talking about there. For example, we go to the New Testament and we find there that the Word of God reveals unto us by faith that an individual who is a penitent sinner, believer, must be baptized in order to receive remission of his sins. That's a matter of faith. That can be established from the Word of God. We don't have any arguments with that because God's Word said it. That's what we believe. That's what has been established. But we might have an opinion on where that particular thing might be done. It might be done in the baptistry such as we have here. It might be done if you take an individual down to the creek or the river and you baptize them there. We know that baptism is a part of faith. It is something we must do. But where that is done is a matter of opinion. It is authorized opinion or is an expediency as to where that particular thing is done. We have an example also in the Lord's Supper in the New Testament. Without a doubt, we realize that we as Christians must partake of that every first day of the week. That's established by faith. But when on the first day of the week, that is a matter of expediency. That is left up to us as long as we fulfill that particular command. And so what we are talking about then this morning are these matters of faith which have been established, which are revealed in the Word of God, and those areas which are opinion, that is, not divinely revealed. Matters of faith. Again, this deals with things that are revealed in God's Word. And as we have just mentioned two of them, we have other examples of faith in the New Testament. For example, that of repentance. In Luke 13, verses 3 and 5, and Acts 2 and verse 38, we find there that Christ says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Peter on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, that they were to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins. We shouldn't question that. That's a matter of established faith in the Word of God. That's what we believe. That's what we hold to. When it comes to singing praises unto God, Ephesians 5 and 19, Colossians 3 and verse 16, tells us there that we are to sing, make melody in our hearts unto the Lord. That's established. We must take a stand upon that. We cannot back down from that. We cannot compromise it. The Word of God reveals that is a matter of faith. With the qualifications of elders also. In 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1, we have Paul writing to those two young evangelists, and he sets forth there a list of qualifications for elders. Now, these are established in the Word of God. We cannot add to them. We cannot take away from them. That is faith. There is the place we are to stand because it is the Word of God. What to preach as the Word of God, that also has been revealed. We must speak as the oracles of God. Concerning women preachers, as we see in so many denominations in our day and age, which allow the women to take these positions of leadership, we find that the Word of God is very explicit upon this. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, talks about those things. Whether or not to usurp the authority over a man. God has established these things. These things are revealed in His Word. They are matters of faith. And we cannot compromise them. We cannot back down from that position. It has been established. If someone were to declare that it really didn't matter whatever has been revealed, that everything that's contained in the Word of God is just simply a matter of opinion, then we must defend the truth that's found in the Word of God. Regardless of whether they want to put it in a classification of opinion, if they want to do that, if it is faith, then what we have to do is we have to take a stand. If we believe that a particular thing has been revealed in the Word of God, that everybody must believe this and everybody must practice this to be acceptable in the sight of God, we cannot back down. We have to take a stand. Even if it divides the church, even if it divides the group where we are meeting, if it is a matter of faith, we don't have the authority, we don't have the right to compromise that. We are not to have peace at all cost. And this is the thought of many people, even among those who are our own brethren, that we have peace at all cost, even if it means to jeopardize the Word of God. In Jude chapter 1 and verse 3, we find the inspired writer Jude there making this particular statement. He said, "Beloved, while I was giving diligence to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." Here is an admonition to these individuals. You take a stand. You defend. You do not compromise the truth that has been revealed. You earnestly contend for this faith which has been delivered. Don't back down on it. It is faith, it is delivered, and you take your stand upon that. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 17, Paul, writing to the saints there at Philippi, says, "But the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel." He says, "I am set. I am appointed to defend the gospel." And what he meant by that was he was going to take a stand for what was right. He was going to take a stand for the truth and not back down. What had been revealed unto him, he knew was the Word of God. It was faith, it was truth, and he was going to stand for it. He wrote to the saints in Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9, concerning some that had already departed from that faith. He said, "But even we, if we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed." And he says that once again for emphasis unto them. Don't believe anything else. There is a gospel that has been preached unto you, and you take your stand upon that. In that same chapter, or same book in 2 and 5, he says there, "To whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you." There had to be some things then that Paul said, you have to defend, that you don't compromise these things. The gospel, the truth, must be defended at all cost. These are matters of faith. And in Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, Paul, in closing his remarks to the saints at Rome, says this, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, by smooth words and flattering speech, deceiving the hearts of the simple." He said there were some that were going to not take a stand upon the truth, upon the faith that has been revealed. You note those persons. You mark them because they're causing division and offenses that is contrary to the doctrine. Certainly we can see what Paul has to say here and other inspired writers is that all is not a matter of opinion. You can do what you want to. You can pick and choose through the Word of God and decide for yourself what you want to do. He says there are certain things that have been established in heaven, that it is the will of God, and you have to take a stand upon that. Again, it is not peace, it is not unity at all cost, but it is unity based upon the Word of God. Faith is established truth, and we cannot depart from it. Those who stand for truth will seek unity based upon the Word of God. And those individuals who leave the Word of God are those that are causing division. Not the ones that stand upon the truth. The ones that stand upon the truth, although the number may be small, if they are standing upon the truth, it is those who are leaving the truth who are causing the division. Even if it be one against many, that individual must take a stand for what the truth, for what the faith is. Now, the world may have some problems with this concept of what we're talking about here. There are so many in the world who are like Pilate who will say, "Well, what is truth?" And this is an attempt to say, "Well, nobody really understands what the truth is, and so therefore you really can't bind on me and I can't bind on you. It's all a matter of opinion." This is the reasoning, this is the thrust behind this type of attitude. But those who stand in Christ, really don't have a great deal of difficulty in what we're talking about here. They understand what faith is, that it has been revealed. We are to contend for that. And we cannot compromise that truth that comes from God without compromising our relationship with God. We must stand for the truth, even if it divides the church. Even if we are the only one that takes that stand for the faith, we cannot compromise. We better make sure that the thing that we are taking a stand for, though, is the truth, that it is the faith, that it has been revealed from heaven. This is what we're talking about. This is how we deal with matters of faith. We stand upon them, and we are not moved. It is the Word of God. We do not compromise them, regardless of those who stand against us, whether it be loved ones, whether it be a great number of individuals. We take a stand upon the truth, and we do not move. That is how we deal with matters of faith. And I believe this is how the Word of God tells us that we are to deal with matters of faith. But there is, and I believe we would all agree with it sometime or another, maybe all the time, that in these matters of opinion, that sometimes this can be a very difficult area for us. It might be hard for us to get a handle on a definition of what we're talking about or how to deal with these things. Whether we have a difficult time in understanding what faith and opinion are is, I believe the Bible is very definite, though, as to how we are to deal with matters of opinion. We may not decide in our own mind until we grow, until we mature a little bit in Christ, as to whether something is faith or whether something is opinion. But the Bible definitely tells us how we are to deal with matters of opinion. And a mishandling of these things can cause devastating results. It can bring devastating results to the individual who doesn't know how to handle it. It can bring those same kind of results to that person, to the others who are involved with that individual in these matters of opinion. And so therefore, as we can see, it is not something. It is not a matter that is to be treated lightly. An individual who has decided that they are going to push their opinion on everybody else will eventually hurt themselves as well as the group that they are a part of. The Bible deals with how to handle these opinions. And if you would, turn with me to Romans chapter 14. We're going to deal with the rest of the time that we have and those things that Paul has to write here. This is a chapter that's found in the Bible that deals with these matters of what we're talking about. Matters of opinion. That some have exalted their opinion above everybody else. And how that they are to be dealt with and how these matters are to be handled. Read with me verses 1 through 4. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let him who does not eat judge him who eats. For God has received him. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. And again, this, as we said, is a matter in a chapter that deals with the matters of opinion, and how that some may exalt their opinion over other individuals. Certainly, we can see that the cause of Christ, even maybe in our own time, but especially in the time that Christ lived, that the cause of God has been plagued by such actions by certain individuals. We can see in the day of Christ how the Pharisees had their opinions, and they were exalted above everybody else to the point that they believed that everybody else was wrong who did not follow their traditions. These principles that are found in Romans chapter 14 must be learned, and they must be lived if we have a hope to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because people who are divided over opinion, people who have problems and divide the church because of this, then people outside in the world are not going to want to be a part of a group that is like that, that is divided over simple opinions, that is always warring, that is always fighting among themselves, that is an opinionated body of people that is not following the will of God. One of the things that we must do is that we must learn to all speak the same thing. Now, this is something that is set forth in the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, there's an exhortation given by Paul to the saints at Corinth, that they are to speak the same thing. They are to have the same mind. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 1 through 3, the same thing is mentioned there. Philippians chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4 and verses 14 and 15. All of these things are revealed in God's Word by the inspired writer that says you are to have the same mind. Now, this does not mean that we are all to have the same opinions. And I think this is where a lot of people are confused. But if peace is to be maintained in a church, in a group of people, if there is going to be peace that is going to be had there, they must be united upon the revealed truth, and they must minimize their opinions. Sometimes they may just have to learn to keep them to themselves. We can be established on what opinion is, and we can hold our own opinion and still be of the same mind. We can still speak the same thing. And this is not an impossible task that God has given unto us. Tell us to have the same mind, to speak the same thing, and then also allow us to hold our own opinion. Because we must be united upon what that is opinion, and not to try to press that upon each other. As we mentioned, Romans chapter 14 and verses 1 through 4. We read just a few moments ago. Paul says here to those, you don't receive an individual in because he is weak in faith, so that you'll have an opportunity to discuss what he believes or what she believes, the opinions that they hold. You don't invite them and you don't receive them into your number simply for that reason, so that you might discuss these things. Because one is weak, he's also saying, don't turn that individual away. He's saying, if we don't agree upon opinions, we should not refuse fellowship one with another. And he gives an illustration of what he's talking about. Two men here, two Christians, are considered by what Paul writes here. One is one who eats meat, and he believes, and he is acceptable in the sight of God. Other believes that he should not eat meat. And yet Paul is saying he is not any worse. He is still acceptable in the sight of God. Whether you eat it or whether you refrain from it doesn't make one or the other weak, one or the other strong. He is saying both of these things are right. Each is entitled to his or her own opinion on the matter. And it doesn't mean that they're not acceptable in the sight of God. Your opinion on this matter is not exalted above the others, nor his above yours. This is what he's trying to talk about here. This is what he is trying to discuss with them, that these are matters of opinion. The result would be, though, if this were the case, that one opinion was held above the other, I think we can see that there would be antagonism that would arise. There would be divisions that would arise simply over these matters of judgment, these matters of opinion that are left up to the individual. One has exalted his opinion, almost, we might say, to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, this is the way that it has to be. This is what I believe. One might exalt his opinion to say that it is a matter of faith. Paul is stressing here, there are those matters of opinion. Exalting one's opinion to a matter of faith, I believe, is a sure sign of immaturity, spiritual immaturity. It's a sign of weakness. It's not a sign of strength and understanding of the Word of God. When you exalt your opinion to a matter of faith, it is a sign of weakness, that you truly don't understand what the Word of God says on that particular matter. Paul is emphasizing here that the strong was to receive the weak. The weak was not to be condemned by the strong, nor was he to be made that, well, this individual is going to straighten me out. Or this strong brother, because he has a better understanding, he's going to straighten me, or I'm going to straighten the other person out on this particular matter that is at hand. I'm going to reveal the truth. I'm going to settle their doubts for them. Paul said God received both of them. If you'll notice what he said in 5 and 23, each was to be fully persuaded of what his belief was, what his opinion was. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind, be persuaded in your own mind that you are right. Then in verse 23, he says there, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not of faith is sin. He sets these principles down. He says he is dealing with matters of opinion. And I think we have to understand that. And he is dealing with matters that others that have a different judgment one to another. They are not to force their judgment upon the other individual. This is how he is telling them to deal with each other. And another individual's conscience is not to guide another person. Notice again in verse 22. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself, whatever he approves. Again, conscience should be trained by the word of God. But if I violate my conscience, I've sinned. My conscience says this is right, I should do it. And that's what Paul is saying here in matters of opinion. But if you go against your conscience, then you've sinned already, because it's not of faith. He is saying here then that another individual, I cannot live by your conscience and you cannot live by my conscience. There is that principle that is set out in verse 13. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. As he says here, don't judge one another anymore. Now, he's not talking about in matters of faith. This whole chapter is dealing in matters of opinion. And I think we have confusion among some people because of it. He is not talking about matters of faith, those things that are established in the Word of God. He is talking about matters of opinion. And in matters of opinion, you don't judge each other anymore. Here's what you do. You make sure you don't cause others to stumble because of your opinion. Don't put a stumbling block in front of them. Don't cause them to fall because of your opinion. This is what he is stressing here. Verse 17, he says there, for the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. He is saying, keep this in mind. Kingdom of God's not food and drink. It's not eating and drinking. It's not the physical things. The kingdom of God is spiritual things. Some are going to make a test of fellowship in the kingdom of God, agree on every matter of opinion that would arise. But he's saying that's not the way that it is. God's kingdom is righteousness. That is, it is forgiveness. It is redemption. It is justification. It is peace, reconciliation with God and with children of God. It is joy. That is, it is faith. It is hope. It is eternal life. It is those things that are spiritual. When we deal with matters of opinion, there are certain things that I am sure that we need, and we'll all agree that we need to remember in this. Romans chapter 14 deals with that. We need to study that particular chapter and apply that in these matters and remember these things, that opinions must not be exalted to the matter or to matters of faith. Strong personal opinions. They be strong personal opinions. If they fall into that category, they cannot be raised to the point of where we believe this is faith. This is truth. And everybody must comply with that. We've seen that in the Pharisees, the time of Christ. Their traditions, what did they do? They raised them up above the laws of God. We see it in our own day in many churches. The Catholic Church has raised tradition to the point of where it is a matter of faith. We are not to do that. Matters of tradition, matters of opinion must not be placed there. Because when that happens, division is going to happen. There are going to be lines that are going to be drawn, and people are going to take one side or the other. The church is going to be divided, not over matters of faith, but that of opinion. Expressing matters of opinion also can oftentimes hinder a situation, not help it. I think we need to remember that. Oftentimes we might express, or sometimes we might express our opinion to help someone understand what we believe on a particular matter. But when we express those opinions over and over, and we become very strong in that, we oftentimes hinder a person's understanding of the Word of God and not helping them. The Word that has been given to us, the Word of faith and truth, is something that is complete. We don't need to add to it. We cannot take away from that. It is complete. Our opinions cannot add one thing to it. And we must remember that. We find at present some opinions are hurting us as children of God. You know, sometimes we don't have the time to take the gospel to the lost and dying world because we are quarreling, we are arguing, we are fighting among ourselves over matters of opinion, over what should be done this way or what should be done that way. When that happens, something's wrong. We need to recognize that there are areas of opinion and people are going to differ in those areas, and not to stress our opinion or our judgment above anybody else. And also, if an opinion is divisive, put it away. Put it away. If it divides you from someone else, if it causes problems, then put it away, because it is nothing more than an opinion. It is a judgment, and they should not be divisive. We find that there are sometimes inherent dangers in expressing matters of opinion, because it, in some instances, will put a wedge between brothers. It even causes open divisions, weakens the church, brings on a variety of problems for the church, such as, maybe in some instances, stubbornness. I'm going to have my way. This is what I think. It may bring on bitterness because an individual did not get their way. I believe it also is one of the greatest waste of energy that's found in any congregation, because so much time sometimes is spent on that. We find as a result of matters of opinion as they are expressed back and forth through the years that even some children of faithful Christians are lost as a result of that. Weak members begin to leave. God is not pleased, and even the lost go untaught, which all of these are terrible things. There are matters of faith. There are matters of opinion. And as I said in the very beginning, I'm not here to give you a list of that. We could spend several sermons on those things. Not here to tell you that what's a matter of faith, what's a matter of opinion. This is directed at how to deal with those things that fall into these two areas. Sometimes it is very, very hard for us as Christians to distinguish between matters of faith and matters of opinion. We will all agree to that. Agree to whether this particular thing that we're studying, is it something that everybody has to believe, or is it something that's just kind of up to me? I want to follow this. Said it's hard. It's not impossible. God has not given us an impossible task. He's not told us to deal with faith and opinions in certain ways and then given us no way to distinguish what faith and what opinion is. It can be done through a study of the Word of God, through prayer for wisdom from God, asking for God's will to be done in all things. We must realize that we can never compromise on matters of truth. Never, ever are we to compromise on faith. There is not a situation that would arise, not a circumstance that might come along, where we compromise with truth. It cannot be done. We should never, on the other hand, insist on others living by our opinions, living by our judgments. God doesn't want us to do that. Romans 14 deals with that particular matter. We will all stand before God and give an account for the things that we've done. That day may come sooner than we think. We're going to have to give an account for what we've stood, where we have stood on faith, opinions, what we've done regarding these matters, and the result of what we have done. God wants us to be with Him throughout eternity. This is the reason that He gave His Son. This is the love that is expressed in His Son and all that was done. He wants us to live with Him. He's given us His will whereby we can know what to do. If you're here this morning and not a child of God, there's a song that has been selected. It talks about preparing to meet your God. We're going to meet Him someday. We're going to stand before Him. We're going to give that account of the things that we've done in this life. If we haven't done anything, we're going to give an account for that. We've done great many things. We're going to give an account for that. Our life will be revealed before Him, and we will be judged. If you're outside of the fold of safety, then every sin that you have committed is going to be held against you. And as a result of that, you will depart into outer darkness. If you stand before Him as a child of God, then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you of all of your sins. You have the hope of eternal life. This is the hope that is given unto each and every one, but only through obedience unto His will. If you're here, you're subject to the invitation of Christ this morning. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?